The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. They had been sent from the Pharisees, so they asked John the Baptist, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John answered. "Among you stands one you do not know. He is the one coming after me whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." These things happened in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one coming after me outranks me because he existed before me.' I myself did not know who he was, but I came baptizing with water so that he would be revealed to Israel." John also testified, "I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from heaven and remain on him. I myself did not recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this myself and have testified that this is the Son of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. John the Baptist testifies, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We're beginning our Lent series tonight with the testimony of this witness who says, "Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The main thing here in this statement is the action, and the action is that sin is removed. And the way that it is removed is by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus. The only way that sin can be taken away or removed is by the sacrifice of Jesus. That is not to say, however, that there are no other ways of dealing with sin, not removing sin, but dealing with it. There are a lot of ways that we can try to cope with sin. The most common and perhaps most effective is to try to forget it. In each of our lives, there is a whole basement full of things that we have done. We all have done things that we would be deeply ashamed of if they were brought into the light of day. We've seen things that we should not have seen. We've said things that we should not have said. We've fantasized about things altogether too much. And why? Because we thought that such things can never be found out by others, and so what's the harm? Whenever we've thought that there would be no consequences to our actions, we've been much more likely to do bad things because, again, what others don't know can't harm. After the fact, all this stuff gets put into the basement of our subconscious like garbage. It's out of sight and out of mind, hopefully. In addition to the things that we have done, we've also had bad things done to us. A lot of people don't know that being on the receiving end of sin does damage. We sense that us sinning does damage, but being sinned against does damage too. Children are damaged by their parents' sins. Those who are slandered and are damaged by those who make fun of them. Victims of scams and theft are often deeply ashamed, even though it's not their fault. Being a victim of sexual sin leaves tremendous scars. This stuff as well can get stuffed into the basement, out of sight, out of mind. Maybe the main floors of our conscious life are kept clean enough, respectable enough, but for heaven's sakes, you don't want anybody to go into the basement. Or maybe there's so much stuff that's crammed into the basement that it starts to fill up the rest of your life too. And then there's no denying it. There's no pretense that's left. Despair takes hold. You could pretend before that you are more or less successful at forgetting your sins and forgetting your being sinned against, but it can get to the point where you can't keep all the garbage at bay. Although it is very unpleasant to have this happen, to run out of room in the basement, so to speak, so that your sins start to clog up your life, it's not the worst thing that can happen to us. We can cope with sin by forgetting about it and thereby going on with our life so as to have contentment and happiness. That's actually much worse. But when sin crowds into our life, we can start to understand how bad sin is. And the better we are at forgetting our sin or coping with our sin, the worse we are at understanding it. What needs to be understood is that sin is terrible and death-dealing. The sins we commit are like this, and the sins that are committed against us are like this. Sin has power. It is highly significant that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb who dies. A person might think that since God is God, he can do anything he wants, and since God can do anything he wants, he could just snap his fingers and make sin go away. But that's obviously not how it is. The Son of God is sacrificed, blood is shed, punishment is carried out, death happens. The burden is so heavy upon the Son of God, who is Almighty, that he fervently prays that he not have to drink the cup. He sweats blood. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is how sin is taken away. This is how sin is removed. How can we think, then, that forgetting about our sin will work? How can we imagine that it is sufficient to cope and cope by just forgetting about it? God died to set us free from our sin. We can't truly handle sin in any other way than through the God who died for that sin. Every other way of dealing with sin is going to be some variation of what the serpent said to Eve. Eve said, no, we can't eat that. We eat that, we're going to die. And the serpent said, no, you're not going to die. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Or to use the analogy that we've been working with tonight, your basement is full of stuff, but it's fine. Nobody will know. No problem. Just make sure that you keep it hidden. But do you know, then, who you will never have over for supper? God can see your mess, even if flesh and blood human beings cannot. You won't want to have God over for your house, to your house, just as you wouldn't want to have company see the things that would make you ashamed. Now, the devil's lie is bad enough. What's worse is that those who believe his lie, that, oh, everything's fine, don't need to worry about it, these people can never be comfortable with God. You can cope, get through life, but if it's just, don't worry about it, we'll just forget about it, you can never be comfortable with God. For stuff to stay hidden, you can't have anybody find out about it. And to keep anybody from finding out about it, then you better stay away from God, because he can know. So the logic goes. And the devil can achieve his ends this way, because he wants you to stay away from God. And if you want to stay away from God, he'll let you have that wish, unfortunately, and much to our displeasure and our doom. God doesn't drag anybody into heaven by the hair. If we don't want to be with him, he won't make it so. On the other hand, God does love you. That's strange, you might think, and you'd be right. God knows what's in your basement. God knows what you have managed to hide from yourself, all the stuff you've forgotten. And yet God wants to be with you. To his supper he calls us all. Therefore, he takes away the sin of the world. Sin loses its power because Jesus took all of that sin, all that sin can do, upon himself. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This statement is true. Although this statement is true, we are left with something that's important to do. We must believe that it is true for us. Of course, our believing that Jesus has taken away the sin of the world doesn't change what God does. He has done it. He's brought about the removal of sin. But in order for us to want to be with God, we have to believe that it's true for us, that he's cleaned it out, that there isn't sin that gets in the way between God and you, because Jesus died for that sin. There's something strange that we all naturally do. It's like we go from one extreme to the other. First of all, we have the extreme where we just assume, oh, we're fine. Keep it in the basement. Don't look at it. We're fine. We're not that bad. Plus, we have things to look forward to in life. Let's focus on that. We minimize the importance of our sin and the consequences of them. If, on the other hand, we have our minds changed about that, then we're likely to go to the other extreme, where we're filled with guilt and shame and we don't know what to do about it. We hate ourselves and we hate what we've done and we're engulfed by grief and guilt and shame and assume there's no way out. We want to punish ourselves for how we feel and punish ourselves for what we've done and we can't ever do it enough. Both of these are stupid and no good. It's very presumptuous, if nothing else. You're going to punish yourself? Who are you compared to Jesus? Your punishments are supposed to work better than Jesus's? God doesn't want us to stay in that frame of mind where we hate ourselves. Hate yourself, hate your sin, fine. That's good to realize that, but you're not supposed to stay there. God wants us to know that we're sinners. He also wants us to believe that we are forgiven. That's why he sent Jesus. He wants us to believe this simply because it's true. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Takes away the sin of the world from yesterday, takes away the sin of the world from today, takes away the sin of the world tomorrow. Believe it or not, God wants to be with you, and he wants you to be with him. And that's why he sent his son, to remove the sin of the world. And if sin is removed, then there's no garbage on the main floor, neither is there anything in the basement. Sin has lost its power. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.